Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
How you been?
Good. How about you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm great. It's a pretty nice day. It's humid. It's kind of sticky outside.
Yeah. I've ridden 3 days this week, I think.
Have you?
Well, I went back and forth to Kentucky a couple days. So I was like, well, I'm going to ride.
Heck yeah.
But it's hot coming home.
I got to ride Tuesday. Downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
And came back, and it was, like, stifling. Tuesday was rough.
Yeah, I rode yesterday downtown, and then, you know, it was just rough.
I haven't been able to ride last couple of days. I've been on a project after work, so.
That's hard.
I took my tour pack off.
Okay.
To make it, you know, put quick release on it.
Yeah.
And I haven't put the quick releases on the tour pack yet, because I'm loving it. Absolutely loving the Street Glide look, and but anyway, I was thinking I need to go ahead and do that because right now I don't have a place to like put my laptop to ride back and forth to work.
That's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part.
Yeah,
so
it sucks.
You know, getting a sissy bar or something like that. Yeah. Strap it to the sissy bar.
Yeah, why not? Well, I got one.
To fit a 08?
As long as it's got quick release, I think. We'll look when we're done.
We'll look. Yeah, we'll look. Okay, cool.
All right, cool. So here, maybe I gave it away. We'll figure it out. We'll look.
Okay.
All right. Here's what I want to know. Today's topic, I think, is going to be hard.
I think so.
But it's not a parable, so we'll get back to parables.
We'll
but
be I think, back in that next week.
But I think, you know, there's tons of parables, and so we just need to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But here's the question for today. I haven't prepared for it. You haven't prepared for it. We talked about it 2 minutes before we pressed record.
Mm-hmm.
Not even that.
Not even that. Maybe like a minute and 15 seconds.
Right. But here's what I want. Here's the question.
Go.
Can you be a Christian and not follow the teachings of Christ?
Just blew up. Just exploded.
I know. People right now are going, oh, like, turn this off.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care.
Okay. You want to go first? You want me
to?
You go
first.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay.
Because I didn't prepare.
Okay, so here's the way I answer that.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So here's why.
Yeah.
So if you Google the definition of Christian.
Yeah.
It is someone who follows the teachings.
Did you Google that before we started?
No.
Okay.
Not today.
I'm going to Google it, though.
Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google it and read exactly. I can ask Siri.
Definition.
And this is.
All right. Christian. Teachings of the Christian, a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. But what does that mean?
Okay, hold on a second. Let's do this. Watch this. Hey, Siri. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's a definition of Christianity?
She don't know.
She's reading it. It says, the religion based on the person and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, or its beliefs and practices.
Yeah. And then, so if I scroll down farther, it says, a Christian is someone whose behavior and heart reflects Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Right?
So, in that, there is no way to be a Christian and not follow the teachings of Christ.
I agree with that. Now, there are several, I guess I wouldn't call them denominations, but there are several
religions
that, you know, consider themselves Christians
mm-hmm.
that do the exact opposite of that in my mind. Right? And I'm on name.
I agree. No. There's no need to.
No, I mean, you got Mormons, right? I've done several podcasts.
Well, yeah.
Right? I grew up in Utah. I've studied it extensively, right? They say Church of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? That's I know we say Mormons, but they their official title is Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. Right. LDS.
But they don't follow the teachings of Christ. They follow the teachings of Joseph Smith.
So I want to raise that just a little bit. Oh, I need to tighten it. So let's talk about that for just a second.
Absolutely.
Because we have, we've talked about Mormonism on this podcast.
Yeah.
You've gone extensively into, you know, stating that because of your background and
That's
things
right.
like that. So how can someone, how can someone not see something as blatant as what Joseph Smith did to come into a, and I'm choosing words carefully here, okay?
Yeah.
So to come in with the Book of Mormon to say this is not just an addendum to Scripture, this is Scripture.
Yeah.
How can someone looking from the outside in not see the blatant heresy in that?
I think it's because they're taught to read the Book of Mormon.
Okay. So let's throw everyday Ken in here, right? And everyday Ken has no experience in church whatsoever.
Right.
He has no, he's got a moral compass.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really have, he knows what's right and what's wrong. Like he knows not to steal and things like that, right?
Yeah.
But he's never been taught about a deity.
Okay.
He's never been taught about in the beginning God.
Right.
He's never been taught those things. He doesn't know the difference in Paul and Saul.
Correct.
He doesn't know who the 12 apostles. He doesn't know about Judas Iscariot, right? He just knows that Jesus was, you know, they celebrate his birthday at Christmas.
He was a good dude.
Right? He was, okay, he was a good dude. So everyday Ken encounters a Mormon.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's say he encounters an elder on his pilgrimage.
Okay.
Okay? 2 hours later, everyday Ken encounters Rick.
Yeah.
Right? How does Rick convince everyday Ken that the elder on his pilgrimage mission was incorrect in what he was teaching everyday Ken?
For me, I explain to them that they have to read it for themselves.
Okay.
Right? That you can't take my word for it or anybody else's.
Right.
You got to take God's word for it.
True.
Right? That's where I start.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that I can tell you anything.
Sure.
Just like he can or she, right? The elder or the missionary or whoever they came in contact with.
Right.
They can tell you anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is God's word in the Bible.
Right.
Right. That is God's word, not anything else.
Right.
And my recommendation to anybody is read the Bible.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
And you're not going to understand it.
Sure.
There's going to be things you don't understand.
There's a lot of things you're not going to understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you time to understand, and God's going to help you understand.
Right.
Right. But when you get to the point that you don't understand it, ask people you trust.
So what if the people that they trust are either atheist or Mormon?
I think that you would have to, for me, the way I did it, right? Because the people I trusted were Mormon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in Utah was Mormon.
Right.
But when they couldn't answer, I would get concerned. Right, because I think it's like Isaiah 43 says there's no God before
or after.
I am the one and only true God. There will be no gods after me.
Right.
And so if you ask somebody in the Mormon religion, and I've had elders in the church respond to this question from me, they have said that's a hard one for us. On more than one occasion, I have had a Mormon say, it's hard for us to explain.
As in you can't?
Yeah.
Or
I've tried to drill in on it, right?
Right.
And they're like, well, we just have to pray. Well, that's God's word.
Yeah.
God doesn't contradict himself.
Yeah.
Right? God isn't going to tempt you. God isn't going to contradict you.
Right.
He says, one and only true God.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
And so I tell people, like, you got to understand who you're asking the question of.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the Mormon religion believes that God was a man who walked the earth and was exalted to godhood. Right?
Right. Yeah, that's what they believe.
And men, when they die, can become gods. Right? That men are exalted to godhood.
Well.
So let me ask you this question, because this is a question I always ask them, and it stumps them.
Okay.
Because everybody always asks them the Isaiah 43 question.
Right.
Or the Galatians question, right? Everybody always brings that to them.
Yeah.
Right? I ask them, if God was a man that walked the earth and was exalted to godhood, who said, let there be light?
So, let's talk about this a little bit in a forensic type situation. Okay.
And I know that I talk about Mormons a lot, but there's a lot of other things that we need to talk about, not just Mormons.
Not just Mormons, and we'll get to some of that later, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of that later in this podcast and probably some others. So if you look at the let there be light, or let's look at another one that says, let us make man in
our image.
Our image, right? So who's the our?
Yeah.
It's right?
The Trinity.
We know that.
We know that, right, yeah.
Right? And we can show that walking through Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, we can show the difference in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We can show that. We have definitive examples in God's Word where we can go to that to show that.
That's right.
Right? So in order to be exalted to that, I refute that, the exaltation to being God or being deity, however you want to describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I refute that by saying,
make them in our image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's the case,
yeah.
If you can do that, where are the miracles that you can perform before you're able to say, let us make man in our own image?
Right. Absolutely.
You
can't answer it.
You can't.
No, you can't. Anybody who tries to, you know, it's the standard answer. Well, you just got to pray.
For what?
Yeah. You know, it's like there's this whole movement now, right? Progressive Christianity.
And that sparks me.
Me too. But let's talk about it.
Right? Let's do it.
I know it's controversial, and we're not generally controversial, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, people got to know the truth.
And that's what we want to uncover.
Yeah. And you know, the key, I'll have to look it up, but, you know, there's like five core tenets to progressive Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but it's progressivechristianity.org is what it is. But they're basically teaching that the Bible is not the inerrant word of God, that things have changed.
That's okay.
Right? I mean, that's what they believe. The core values of progressive.
Yeah, I was about to find that.
So the first one is believe that following the way and teachings of Jesus can lead to experiencing sacredness, wholeness, and unity of all life, even as we recognize that the Spirit moves in beneficial ways in many faith traditions.
Wait, read that again.
Okay. It says, this is the core values of progressive Christianity, right? By calling ourselves progressive Christians, we mean that we are Christians who believe that following the way and teachings of Jesus can lead to experiencing sacredness, wholeness, and unity of all life, even as we recognize that the Spirit moves in beneficial ways in many faith traditions. Do you want to unpack that, or you want me to go to the next one?
Go to the next one. We'll come back to it.
All right. Number two, seek community that is inclusive of all people, honoring their differences in a theological perspective, age, race, sexual orientation, gender, identity, or expression, class, or ability.
A, B, C, D, I, O, U.
Yes.
Yeah.
Strive for peace and justice among all people, knowing that behaving with compassion and selfless love towards one another is the fullest expression of what we believe. Number four, embrace the insights of contemporary science and strive to protect the earth and ensure its integrity and sustainability. Number five, commit to a path of lifelong learning, believing there is more value in questioning than in absolutes.
Okay, so let's. I want to start with number two.
Okay. Number two was the sexual orientation, gender identity, right? That
well, not just
all inclusive of all.
All people. Inclusive of all things, right?
Yeah.
So, folks, hear me say this, and understand where I'm coming from with this, because I have, this hits hard home with me.
Yeah.
And you know why.
I know.
You know why. So I am not someone who is, how do I say this? I'm not someone who wants to bash.
Here's what I would say. You're a tolerant person.
Okay, I'm a tolerant person. Okay,
but we'll tolerant see. Doesn't mean acceptance.
Exactly.
Right.
So
you're a loving person.
A loving person.
But loving doesn't mean acceptance.
Exactly. So that's the point that I'm getting at. I read in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I read in countless places where every single person that Jesus encountered, he loved them when he met them.
Absolutely.
They did not stay the same after they encountered him.
Absolutely.
So to say that we have to be inclusive in whatever orientation and that we've just got to accept people that way, no. Because every single encounter that Jesus had with people, they were changed. And if we say that in an encounter with Christ, an encounter in the one and only true and living Word of God as his son, right? If we say that that encounter that we have had with Christ does not change us, and because of that lack of change, that you have to accept me the way that I am, is hogwash.
I would agree with that.
There is nowhere in the Bible, that says that a sinner can remain a sinner as a sinner as a sinner as a sinner.
Right. It says turn and repent.
Exactly.
Right. And turn from your sins.
And now, does it say that I'm going to lead a perfect life? No. And hear me say this, folks. God never, ever, ever called me to be perfect. He called me to be holy and righteous. So in my righteousness and in my struggle to be righteous, I realize the need for my Savior even after my salvation.
Yeah.
Because in that, I'm going to have to continue to grow. There's going to be times where I slip. There's going to be times when I fall. There's going to be times when I may move back a step. That does not mean that I am going back to that old life. That means I am learning from that mistake and moving forward because of an encounter with Jesus Christ that has made me want to change, that has made me want to be better, that has made me want to grow, that has made me want to show that love that he has for me to everybody else in the world, to show them that that inclusion means that love is there, but not to stay in that sin.
That's right. It is absolutely not staying in that sin. You know, when I think about this, the Sikh community that is inclusive of all people, the hard part I have about that is it says honoring their differences.
I don't.
Right? I can't honor that. I love you. I will love you.
I will love you.
Right?
I will.
I will love you. I will show you the respect that you deserve. Mm-hmm. I will be tolerant.
But if you choose to remain that way.
That's right. That doesn't mean love is not acceptance.
No.
I think today's culture and society misunderstands the words love and tolerance.
Exactly.
Right?
You know why?
Because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Well, because we love M&Ms.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We have spread it so thin.
Mm, yeah.
And we've watered it down. I heard something one time. Somebody said, I'm going to quit saying that things are awesome. Mm. I'm like, why? He said, because God is the only thing that's truly awesome. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mic drop moment.
Right? That's an awesome thing to say.
Yeah.
So we in that application with what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, we've spread things so thin and watered it down to a point to where the true definition of what love is, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
I love you, but I also love you enough that I'm not going to sit back and yeah. watch you destroy your spiritual life.
That's right. I mean, when our kids were little, we loved them enough to don't stick your finger in that light socket.
Yeah.
Right. Don't run out in the street.
Yeah.
Right. We loved them enough to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the culture today has changed the definition of love.
They have.
Right. Yeah. You know, I talk to a ton of people just like you do. Right. And I start with, you know, do you believe you're a tolerant person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they always say yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what is the definition of tolerant?
And what answer do you normally get?
Because, well, a lot of times they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. But the definite to be a tolerant person means you're going to tolerate something you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. Right. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what the exact definition is. But
sure.
If you're going to be tolerant, you're tolerating something you don't like or that you disagree with.
Right.
Right. So if you're a tolerant person, you're going to tolerate that you disagree. You're going to accept you disagree with me, and that's okay.
Right. And that, but that is
also
okay.
means I can disagree with you.
Right.
Doesn't mean I don't love you.
That's where it gets skewed.
So skewed. Right. And so I think this progressive Christianity movement,
mm-hmm.
for the sake of numbers, that's my belief. For the sake of numbers, right, to grow their congregation size or their church or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're saying, everybody come. We're going to tolerate everything. We're going to love you regardless, right? You can do and say whatever you want. The Bible's outdated. Come on in. How else can you explain it if it's not really, about the number?
There's not another way to explain it. But what's the bottom line of the number?
It's money.
Exactly.
It's money. Come here and pay your tithing. We'll accept you.
Right. Exactly. And there's a whole lot of misguided people that fall into the trap of a progressive Christianity.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think that a progressive and Christianity need to be melded together. Honestly.
They don't.
You know,
you just I'm part of the progressive religion.
Progressive to me is technology.
Yeah.
You know, progressive to me is a twin cam engine to a 108 Milwaukee 8 engine, you know?
Right.
Progression to me is going from a street glide to an Indian.
Yeah. It is too, by the way.
I know. Rebecca, if you're listening.
Stop listening when we start talking about bikes.
Yeah. But that to me is to say that the Bible's outdated. Well, what revelation has come down from God?
Yeah.
To update it.
Yeah, you know, something I like to ask people, and you know, inevitably they never answer it the way you want them to, or you expect them to, or maybe they do answer it the way you expect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've done a ton of the Frank Turek, you know, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist classes.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, I got the Bible study. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I've got all the videos. Like, I've really, like, apologetics is my thing. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the questions they teach you to ask is, like, if, you know, if I could prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ walked this earth, died for you 3 days later, rose, and ascended to heaven, would you be a Christian?
And what do they say?
A lot of times they say no.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, well, I don't know if I could believe it. I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah.
That's the general answer. I don't know if I'd believe that.
Because it goes against what they want to do instead of what they know they should do.
Yeah. So then you start asking questions like, well, how do you know who was Caesar in the year, you know, 30, 80?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have books.
There's a wide open door to walk through.
Well, how many books do we have on record that say Tiberius was the Caesar or whoever it was, right? I think it was Tiberius.
Tiberius Caesar, yeah.
You know, when Christ was born. Well, a lot. No, we have 9. How many original manuscripts of the Bible do we have from the same era? Well, I don't know. 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And because they were handwritten, it wasn't like you could mass recall everything.
No.
Right? It was written and it was spread out.
Yeah.
To make a change to the original manuscripts was near impossible.
Oh, yeah. You had to
recall. Impossible.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Well, how many people on record did they have documented that actually saw Caesar, knew what he looked like? Well, I don't know. Well, on record, it's like 12.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
But there's like, you know, 500 people who saw Jesus.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Or whatever the number is, right?
Well, 500,000 probably, or, you know, because he fed 5,000.
But in that 40 days, after his death.
Oh, after his death.
Right?
Yeah,
after his death, there were 500, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but yeah.
So there's 500 that can testify that he died.
And was raised again.
And was raised again, and they saw him.
Yeah. But there was only 12 that saw Tiberius Caesar, though.
That they, now, clearly there was more than that. But we're talking about documented, like, in a scroll, in a...
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I got you.
You know, in the documented, they can say, well, we know that there were these 12.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We know that hundreds of thousands saw him.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
They knew who he was.
Absolutely.
But how many, like, on paper? Because back then, you know, 100,000 people didn't know how to write.
No.
Right? But you had 500 who knew, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Testified, this is the guy, right?
This is him.
And so as you start asking these questions of people, they're like, well, I just don't know that I believe it.
But you're presented with the evidence. Why wouldn't you believe it?
It's like you talked about in our last podcast, the forensic evidence, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And going back to, see,
all right, I'm gonna read number 4 again.
Because that's my next one I want to go to.
I
want to
understand what you're going to say to this. Number 4 was embrace the insights of contemporary science and strive to protect the earth and ensure its integrity and sustainability. What does that mean?
Read it one more time.
Embrace the insights of contemporary science and strive to protect the earth and ensure its integrity and sustainability.
So here's the thing.
I don't really know what that means. So
so the big debate that we see in between evolutionists and creationists is they'll go, well, here's the science. Okay. Read the science.
Okay.
Right? Trust the science.
Yeah.
And every single creationist can prove the science.
Yeah.
Every single one, right?
Yeah.
So in embracing the science, mm-hmm. they are progressive Christianity, in my mind, in saying embrace the science, are allowing for the evolution of things to happen.
Yeah.
Which in at the same time allows them to evolutionize the Word of God to for their own agenda,
yeah,
so that they can in, include, I almost said inclusify, so that they can include every single person, no matter what that orientation be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, I identify as a 25-year-old rich billionaire.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it didn't happen.
Last time I checked, you owed me $500.
I do, don't I?
And because I said it, that's true for me.
That's true for you. It's got to be my truth.
that's your truth, right?
Okay.
All right. So how do you argue that, right? How do you? I don't mean argue, right? But how do you? What would you? You know, if somebody's like, "Oh, embrace the insights of science and you know, protect the earth," and
I'm all about and
argue's a bad term, but how do you have a discussion about it?
Okay, so I believe. I believe in science and the way that science obviously supports creation.
Yeah.
There is no way. Yeah. And if you talk about the Big Bang theory, well, where'd the matter come from that collided?
Well, here's what I'll say. I had a conversation with somebody recently and it doesn't matter who it is. Right. But I know today that some world renowned atheists and scientists have acknowledged that the universe is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe is expanding at a certain rate.
Okay.
And because of the way the universe is expanding, that it had to have a beginning.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Like, you know, a Big Bang.
Right.
Right? But because of the rate that it's expanding, we can backtrack to see when creation occurred.
Okay.
Right? Because sure. If it expands this much per year.
Right, you're right. You can right, backtrack. You can go back. I see that. I see that.
Right? Because it's expanding. There's a growth. It's growing.
There's a measurable growth that you can.
And if that measurable growth is, say, 6,600 years, 6,800 years, that's about right.
Yeah.
I mean, give or take, right? How do you explain that? And they've been like, well, I don't know that that's true.
What about
fossils?
Hang on.
It's the typical change the subject, right? What about fossils? Fossils are millions of years old.
But all the fossils are in one area of the Earth's crust.
Yeah.
And the matter that is over those fossils can only come from floodwaters.
Rapid sedimentation.
Exactly.
Right. So I've asked in other conversations, right, when people bring up, well, what about fossils? Because that's the typical response when you're trying to, you know, say, hey, here's the proof, right? The science actually proves God.
Right. It does.
Right?
It does.
And people don't want to hear that, but the science actually proves God. And so I'll say, well, if I took a skull, dog, cat, human, whatever it was, and I buried it in the garage, in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take for that skull to just be nothing? 30 years?
Probably.
50 years? Would it ever become a fossil before it disintegrates?
See?
The science says no.
Yeah.
And over again, at UT, they have buried bodies.
Sure, at the body farm.
At the body farm, to see how long it takes them to deteriorate.
Right.
And there's not one recorded instance of one of them becoming a fossil.
A fossil.
Before they disintegrate. Think about that.
Yeah. Okay. So putting that in perspective of what of number four on this list right here.
Yeah. So science. Right. So if you say embrace the insights of contemporary science, I am using contemporary science to tell you the only way we have fossils is rapid sedimentation from something like a flood.
Yeah.
Millions and millions and millions of pounds of water.
Okay.
Covering the earth.
Right. And what happens when charcoal becomes a diamond?
It's compressed.
Right.
Right. Pressure.
That pressure.
Yeah.
But we can't tell the difference in a 2-year-old diamond and a 500-year-old diamond.
So how can we tell the difference between a...
That's what I'm getting at.
New...
A new fossil.
A new versus, and a fossil and a million-year-old fossil.
Yeah.
There's no way to date it.
How come the oldest tree is only, how old is the oldest tree right now? Like 1,200 years?
Something like that, I don't remember.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like, yes, you say embrace the science when it fits your narrative.
Right.
Right?
But here's the thing. How many people walk in the street every day? I mean, just normal people are going to be able to answer that way, like what you and I just, you know.
This is one, it's like one of my kind of pet peeves with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a pet peeve with some pastors or just kind of in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we prepare people to defend the faith.
I don't think so.
Right?
I think that
the younger generation is walking away from Christ because we have not told them the truth. Because we have not prepared them.
I get that, yeah.
Right? That they go off to college without the truth.
Right.
Right? Without a firm, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to blame for as much as anybody else,
I'm
right?
I am too, yeah.
Right? My kids went to college and they learned what they wanted to learn. I didn't prepare them.
Right.
Right? So this isn't me pointing fingers at anybody. I'm saying I did the exact same thing.
Right.
Right? But I think now that I'm where I'm at in my life and where you're at, right? We are ministers of the gospel.
Yeah.
And as ministers of the gospel, we should be accountable to teach people how to defend the gospel.
Sure. Be prepared to be able to do that. Yeah.
Be prepared. Have you ever read the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus?
Uh-uh.
Nabil Qureshi.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. Now, Nabil has passed away. Several years ago, but he was like, he grew up in a family that was Islamic apologists.
Really?
That could trace their bloodline back to Muhammad.
Wow.
Right? That was his family. They were apologists. And he came to university in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And his roommate was a Christian.
Really?
And he was like, I got him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna convert him to Islam.
Yeah.
Because when he walked into his dorm, his roommate was sitting there reading the Bible.
Mm.
But his roommate had been given the tools.
True.
Right?
Okay.
And he started with saying, the lens that you look at Christianity through, I would like for you to look at Islam through. We will have a discussion. I ain't going to sit here and argue with you. Until you're, and even after, I'm not going to argue with you. We can have discussions. And they were on the debate team together.
Really?
Yeah. And he says, but I want you to look at Islam through the same lens that you're putting Christianity through.
Mm.
And so this book talks about that journey and how he had to walk away from his family to follow Christ.
Sure.
Because when he used the same lens on Islam, he started to realize that what he had learned and taught his whole life wasn't the truth.
Wow.
Great book, right?
Yeah.
Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus.
Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Okay, I'll have to find that.
But I look at this the same way, right? We're not equipped.
We're not.
And so because people aren't equipped, that's how things like progressive Christianity take a foothold.
Well, it's just a fast-talking used car salesman.
Right.
You know, you don't ever buy a car after the hurricane season.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just don't.
That's right.
You know, you got this shiny red Mercedes sitting right over here at a great price of $15,900, and it's a 2020 model.
Right.
Walk away.
Right.
Because that came from Florida after Hurricane Ichirod.
Right.
So, but the same thing, somebody will end up buying it because it's a great price.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will end up buying progressive Christianity because it appeals to what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And we as Christians have not done a good job of, and when I say Christians, I'm talking about those grounded in the faith, those grounded in the word, that have the ability to show younger Christians coming up as we disciple just exactly how to defend the faith.
I think it's so important, right? Because there are going to be some people who are younger Christians listening to this podcast.
There are.
And the expectation isn't that you're going to go out and defend the faith.
No.
But the expectation is that you're going to learn.
True.
And that you get somebody in your life mm-hmm. that can help mentor you.
Exactly.
That can help guide you.
Right.
Right. And look, at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be a personal relationship with somebody. I learned a ton about apologetics through Bible studies.
Exactly.
Podcasts.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
This, you know,
yes.
Reading on the web. Like, I took accountability for how my beliefs, mm-hmm. right? I'm saying if you're listening, take accountability for your beliefs too.
Right.
Don't take my word for it. Don't
or
take
mine.
Rob's.
No,
right?
No.
Read the word.
Yep.
Study the word.
Yep.
If you want to know places to go look, email us. Hello@nobadpastor.com.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
We'll get you there.
Yep.
But don't drink the Kool-Aid. Right?
No, don't do that.
You mentioned earlier evolution.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I'm going to say about evolution is this. If we evolved from apes, that's what everybody always says.
Oh, yeah.
Why are there still apes? Because you can't evolve from something and then it still exists.
And it still exists.
Right?
So
I don't – go ahead.
I've asked that question of somebody that wants to – I'm talking about violently argue. And when I mean violently argue evolution. Mm. To the point of screaming and cursing and literally wanting to throw hands.
That's horrible.
And I'm like, try Jesus, not me.
That's right.
Not me.
Right.
Because I throw hands. Try Jesus.
So that's all I got to say about evolution.
And that's all it needs to be
said. You can't evolve
said.
To something and it still exists.
You can't. You really
if
can't.
We evolved from something, that something doesn't exist anymore.
It shouldn't. No. It right. wouldn't if that's the way it actually
that's
happened.
Right. If that's how evolution worked.
Right.
All right. We're 41 minutes, and I still want to talk about one other subject.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do that last subject that you want to talk about real quick. Okay.
Okay.
But let's in the interest of everybody's time that's listening.
Yeah.
Because I have look, y'all. We get fired up on some things, and we could talk for hours about this.
We could.
We really could, and this is one of those that we could. And even with a minute and 15 seconds preparation, we have gone almost 42 minutes now. So go ahead with your last point.
Charismatic churches.
Hello.
Spirit-filled.
Here we go.
Right?
Here we go.
How do you feel?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I want to know your real opinion, right?
Okay.
Because there are people that I know that are like, praise God. But I want to look at it from a biblical point of view.
Okay, so let's do that.
Right.
Let's talk about some of that for a minute. So, we can't do this in 5 minutes.
Probably not.
But we'll start it, and then we'll come back. We'll come back in a few weeks and probably have to do it again. Right. Okay. So, here's the thing. There are charismatic churches now where. Because I'm reading this book, Misled, there are so many things that I just want to go, let me tell you about the...
Here's what I'll say. Let's not try to get too deep.
Don't get out of the weeds with it.
Here's my opinion. Do I believe that the Holy Spirit can convict somebody?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Absolutely.
Everywhere I read it in the Bible, mm-hmm. it's face down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not falling out.
No.
Right? Everywhere I read in the Bible, it's face down.
Mm-hmm.
Do I still believe that the Holy Spirit can do some stuff?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But unless there is order to what occurs.
Okay.
And communication about what has happened and what happens next and why this occurred.
Okay, yeah, keep going.
I don't think it's biblical.
I would not just agree with that.
Yeah.
But I would proclaim that.
Yeah.
I would.
And I say that because I think Pentecostals get a bad rap sometimes.
Sure.
Right? You know, speaking in tongues and you know, I don't understand the run and lapse thing. Like, I've seen that happen because that's chaos to me.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right.
But I have seen Pentecostal churches where somebody has spoken tongues and somebody interpreted what was going on.
Okay.
Right? I have seen Pentecostal churches where somebody fell out. They didn't fall out backwards.
Convulsing and things.
Yeah, there was no convulsions.
Yeah.
You know, somebody didn't bomp them on the nose, and they right,
yeah, or swing their scarf at them,
or Benny Hinn them, right? Fall,
yeah,
fire, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But I've seen Pentecostal churches where people have had that experience,
mm-hmm.
and then after, like, I wanted to see what was going on, mm-hmm. and after they sat down with that person and said, "Look, I want to talk about what happened."
I applaud that.
Right? And it wasn't that. It wasn't 30 people, right? It was mm-hmm. one.
Right.
And there was no pastor like approaching them or anything. It was one.
Right.
And in that instance, the pastor after said, "I want to talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what you felt. I want to explain to you what we think may have occurred based mm-hmm. on the Bible."
Right.
And so
right.
in that instance, where I think a Pentecostal church generally is considered a spirit-filled church.
Right.
But in that instance, I think they did it the right way.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the wrong way for just a minute.
The wrong way is chaotic and
no order whatsoever.
No order whatsoever. Now, let's clarify. Because I think that some churches do a very good, some spirit-filled, charismatic churches do a very good job of workflow.
Explain that.
I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
I got sheets ready.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? I got ushers in the aisles.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
I got people standing there to catch them. The workflow is prepared in advance.
Right.
Right?
So
but it's still chaos.
It is. So here's
the difference. Difference between chaos and workflow.
Here's the difference. Is it self-serving and self-centered, or is it God-centered and God-glorifying?
Mm, yeah.
Well, if you look at the difference in a charismatic evangelical worship service.
Yeah.
Okay. In one where, like what you explained with the Pentecostal church, where, you know, someone was slain in the spirit,
yep.
right? Or they had the gift of tongues that was interpreted or whatever. Okay. Do I believe that that can still happen? Can God still create that to happen? Absolutely.
100%.
There is not a doubt in my mind that can happen. Where we get off base with it is when we say, we get this self-centered, self-seeking, look at me, accolade, give me the gold star, I'm gonna swish my scarf at you, and you're going to fall down, the usher's going to catch you and cover you up because you're wearing a miniskirt instead of modest, and don't get me started with the modest apparel stuff, okay?
Yeah,
don't. Yeah. But do we seek things for, as we talked about before, the number
mm-hmm.
or the approval rating or the better rating on TV, be it TBN, CBT, or whatever it may be, for more viewership or for more people that were willing to dial that toll-free number for the prayer line that at the end of it asks you for $15.
Yeah.
Or are we doing this because the glory of God has revealed itself through the Holy Spirit into something that is biblical?
I think it's a fine line. I hate to say it like that.
I think it is when we...
I think it's hard for people to interpret the line.
That's what I'm saying is the hard line.
It's a hard place for people to interpret it.
It is.
Right?
It is.
And you can get wrapped up in it.
Quickly.
Super quick.
Quickly.
Oh, everybody loves everybody. It's a great this. It's a great that. And then the next thing you know, 30 people are laying out with blankets on them, and you're just going along with it.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you think have been slain in the spirit because their buddies up there?
Oh, lots.
Oh, every one of them, I think.
Lots. Lots.
Yeah.
Like I said, and you said it too, do we think that the spirit can still work that way?
Absolutely. I think you can.
Sure. But I don't think it's one dude waving his coat or shooting imaginary arrows and people falling out.
So look, let me ask you this. And
fire the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Shoot arrows from the stage. Fire the Holy Spirit.
So
I've seen that.
If faith healers are such gifts from God, why do we still have hospitals?
Right.
Why was COVID ever a thing?
I agree.
Why do we, you know, and you just had COVID not too long ago, right?
For the third time.
For the third time. After how many?
After two boosters.
After two
not
boosters.
Two vaccines and a booster or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. You know? So if faith healers are a thing, if they are real,
yeah.
Why do we have cancer? Why do we have hospitals?
Right.
Why do we have medical clinics?
Look, don't get me wrong. God can still perform miracles.
I'm not saying
I know,
100%,
but I want to make sure that everybody hears.
Everybody hears us both say that.
Right. God can still perform miracles.
And does.
Right.
But
every day.
Every day. But folks, all we're saying in this, both of us are saying this, read and study the Word of God.
100%. For yourself.
And ask Him in prayer to reveal to you in His Word, through His Word, what the truth of XYZ, progressive Christianity, faith healers, charismatic evangelical churches.
What about deliverance ministry?
Here we go.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Now, that has to be a different podcast.
I agree. Because I do believe that people can be delivered.
But
I don't believe that, you know, your autistic kid has demons and needs to be.
I'm 100% with you there. Right. So we'll talk about that at a different time. But
all right.
For this one, for this podcast, and to land it, I would say this. In your journey to grow your faith, in your journey to be closer to Christ, in your journey to have that closeness with Christ that in turn reacts into an intimate relationship personally with God, you have to stay in His Word. You have to eat it up. You have to not just read it, but study it, and you have to apply it.
Yeah.
So.
Best self-help book ever.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
So, folks, I want to say thank you for hanging on this long. This one has been one that went a little bit long.
Yeah.
But it's one that I think we can have a whole lot more conversation on. And if you have a question, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Rick and I look forward to getting those emails. We are on every single podcast platform and YouTube. Can we consider that a podcast platform?
I don't know, maybe. Oh, well. It's a video.
It's a video.
It's not a social media. Like, I know people think YouTube is social media. It's not social media. It's marketing.
It really is.
It's marketing.
It really is. We don't have ads pop up in the middle of ours.
No. I'm pretty sure we do not because we do not do any monetization.
Right.
We're not part of the whole, we want ads and
right.
We list that we are specifically for kids. So, you know, people can't comment. We're not worried about bots commenting or porn site ABC or whatever. So it's locked down. So I'm pretty sure that I've never seen an ad.
I don't think I've ever seen an ad in ours on YouTube. So anyway. Folks, thanks for hanging with us today. It's Rick and Rob, the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember to love God
and love people.